This is Lead 12:12, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Here's Dave and Chris.
Hey, everybody. Boy, I'm a terrible Dave replacement, aren't I? I can't hold a candle to that guy. Dave is not with us today. I have a stand-in for him. I have my lovely wife, Sharon. Sharon's going to be sitting in for Dave, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about Sharon. Sharon is a professional baker. She's graduated with a culinary degree. She used to work in IT, and she is the mother of twin boys that are now 24 years old. Everyone, please say hi to Sharon. Hey, Sharon.
Hi.
Sharon, tell us a little bit about you. I know you're married to a wonderful guy, but what else besides that?
I am very blessed to be married to my best friend.
Yes.
The love of my life.
Thank you. Yes.
I have two amazing boys.
Yes.
Or actually young men. They're not really boys. I have two dogs that are the best dogs in the world.
I agree.
And I'm truly blessed to have them.
So I've got one question for you before we get started with JT. And that's just to get you going. Why won't you let your husband buy you a new phone?
Because my husband wants to buy me a new phone every time that something small happens. Or if I have something that I can't figure out on my phone, he just thinks that a new phone's going to fix it. So I don't think I need a new phone every time that he thinks so.
Well, we'll follow that one up again later. But okay, let's get started with JT.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to introduce someone that I think the world of. Sometimes we call each other a brother from a different mother. He is a legend in powerlifting. He has so many world records. He is the number one drug-free bench presser in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, JT Hall. JT, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm definitely honored to be here to talk to y'all, to tell my story. I'm not really looking forward to it, but Chris said that, you know, I could do an interview with you up here. I was like, yeah, man, that's awesome.
Well, I've got a quick question for you. Do you even know how many world records you have? Because when I look them up, you have all of them.
No, how many records I have? You know, world, national, city, state, regional. You know, I've been powerlifting since 1994, so I really don't know how many I have. That was never really the goal, to know how many I have. It's just really just having fun and just getting more people involved in powerlifting.
That's wonderful. Amen. You know, I remember the first time you and I worked out together, you were training me, and we would do a set and say a Bible verse. And after a while, I started thinking, man, I need to start learning more Bible verses.
That's awesome. So, JT, could you tell me what your salvation story is?
Yeah, so salvation story, when you think about first, let me talk about what salvation is. You know, salvation is being saved. You know, yes. You walk away from sin, you walk away from not serving the devil, yes. And you walk towards serving Jesus Christ. So how did I get saved? It started way back in elementary school.
Wow.
Amazing.
Called Capital City Church in God is Christ in Springfield, Illinois. And that's how I got saved. Even though I've been going to church all my life, but actually got saved, it was at Capital City Church of God in Christ, and the ministers, they called all the kids up to church. You know, it's like, you know, do y'all want to get saved?
Wonderful.
And, everyone said yes. And then, you know, we said the confession about being saved, and that's how I got saved. So that's my salvation story.
How old were you then?
I was in elementary school, so maybe around 8 or 9 years
old.
Wow. That's great.
Like I said, I've been going to church all my life, but it was never
forced. Amen.
I mean, we had to go. It was a lifestyle, but it was never forced. We never had to participate in a lot of different events in church. Our parents wanted us to be on our own, use our own
Wonderful.
Mind as we attend church. So it wasn't forced. So it was fun to go to church.
Yeah.
And still go to church now. You know, I'm an usher, and I'm also part of the security team.
Wonderful.
At our church. So
you probably are the whole security team.
Our church are packing. So
yeah, they're. Blessed to have you on the security team.
Yes, they are. So here's a question I'm going to ask that I've got a little background with, especially with you. What is your approach to motivating someone?
You know, to motivate someone, some people might think that might be a challenge. I don't think it really is a challenge to motivate someone. I think you start by asking them, you know, exactly what do they need, whether it's training, whether it's schoolwork, whether it's finances, whether yes. it's planning, just find out what's on their mind. And once you know that, and then you tell them, all right, I'm going to trust you. And then we have more conversations, you know, tell them, you know, hang in there, you know, you can do it. Don't give up. You just keep pushing them. I mean, yes. You just keep fighting them. But the part of motivation, you just find out what do they want to achieve? What do they want to do? And once you know that, and then you move into that positive direction with positive words, with positive reinforcement. Yes.
I have seen you do that with Chris whenever you were training him.
That's beautiful. Oh, I remember one. Everything was twice as heavy as it should be, and I was just having a bad day in the gym, and I was walking around with my head down and I think probably my tail between my legs, and you said, hey, you can't be Superman every day. And I thought, wow, that is really motivating.
It's good to know.
We're going to have bad days. We're going to have good days. But you just got to keep pushing forward, because if you give up, you won't achieve your goal. So you just got to keep pushing forward. Like I say, Rome wasn't built in a day. You just got to keep fighting and keep fighting.
Amen. The way that you were pushing Chris and cheering for him was just awesome. Whenever I was there watching you train him.
Oh, in the workouts, he would have me on the sled and I would be ready to fall over and he'll be screaming, the beast is back. And like, oh, I'm motivated. I got to go.
Definitely. Yeah, because, you know, the training is so exhausting, and you just got to keep pushing a person and motivate them to get the best out of them.
Amen.
So I have another question. What is your goal when training someone, and what steps do you take to achieve that?
So the goal when I train someone is to actually know what they want, because everybody have different goals. Like, some people might want to be involved in competing. Someone just basically might want to just get stronger. Someone might just want to improve their health. I got clients, you know, they are elderly, you know, in their 70s. So it's a lot more of a functional training. So it carries over in their life. So once I know what they want, so then I set the training for that specific type of activity. Like, for example, Chris, you know, he wanted to compete in bench press. Well, we're going to compete in bench press. Well, the training is going to be very, very demanding and very hard.
And it was.
To the point where sometimes you might faint.
Every
day. You might vomit. But it's going to carry you over on the platform, so you are prepared. So that's how I do it.
That's great.
That's wonderful. So here's a question. How important is prayer in your training?
So when you think about prayer is, I look at it as a direct link to talking to the Father. So in training, you have the physical training, which is the weightlifting, and then you have the nutrition, which help feed your body, and then you have the spiritual training. So by praying, you can talk to the Father, and you can ask for things, because the Bible is very clear. It says that if you ask in my name, you shall have it. Yes. So when I train, you know, I wanted to be a top drug-free lifter. So every day I always pray to God, you know, give me strength so I can be a top drug-free lifter. So I don't have to use steroids. Again, I don't judge nobody if they want to use steroids. Again, it's all about free will, but I didn't want to go that route.
Yes.
So I knew I had to gather more strength. What it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But I had to get more strength. And that's the spiritual strength to help take my training to the next level. Because in powerlifting, you know, it's a fact, you know, people do use steroids. But again, I don't judge them.
Yes.
I wanted to be drug free. So I have to look for other ways to get stronger. So when you take in your spiritual training, taking your physical training, you take in your nutritional training, you bring all three of those together, you can help take you to the next level.
Amen.
So, JT, how do you handle conflict?
You know, conflict, it's always going to be around us. There's always going to be conflict.
Yes.
I mean, if you got kids, there's going to be conflict.
Amen.
You'll be dealing with different issues. And if you got a lot of family members, you know, you got to deal with that.
Yes.
Amen.
You got conflict at work. How I deal with it is by being patient and by praying and just by taking one day at a time. And just don't let it overwhelm me that I get so stressed out that I can't focus. So that's how I deal with conflict. It's just by praying. And that reduces the stress. And by praying, the Father can give you different ways how to handle this problem. Because if you act out on the impulse, first time something happens, you know, you might do something stupid, and then you might regret it later. And just by praying and just by thinking, you know, correct answers will come to you and how to deal with that conflict. Because, you know, like I said, we always want to deal with conflict. I mean, the Bible is clear. You know, we have an enemy. He walks around this world looking for people who to destroy and make chaos in your life. There's always going to be problems.
Absolutely.
But, you know, by talking to the Father, it helped give you answers. It helped reduce stress and how to handle those problems.
Very good. That is so true. So I've got one of my favorite stories that I want you to tell. Tell us about the time you were in a competition and you had a bench shirt rip.
Oh, let me think.
That's got to be one of the scariest things that can happen to a powerlifter.
Yes. And so this probably happened maybe about 15 years ago. It was at a NASA state meet. And in powerlifting, you have different type of bench shirts that you can bench press with. You know, you can use a poly shirt, yes, or you can use a canvas shirt, or you can use a denim. So I started out using the poly shirts, and I wanted to switch to a denim shirt. This was about 15 years ago. I think it was maybe 540 or 550 on the bench. And also on the bench, they have what he's called these bench press safety racks. So if something happened, the bar will drop basically right above your chest. So the bar won't, you know, slam on your head or your chest. Yes. So I was lowering the weight down. And next thing you know, the denim split right down my chest.
Oh, no.
It sounded like someone had shot you or someone got shot.
Oh, my.
It kind of scared me. And two spotters was on the end, and they grabbed the weight. But also they had the bench press safety racks. So when the bar slammed down, the bench press safety racks grabbed the weight. So it wouldn't drop down on my chest and hurt me.
Wow.
But it did scare me because the noise is really, really loud. And the shirt's really tight. So he's trying to lower it. He's trying to pull it down. And the shirt just split. I'm like, oh, my God.
That had to be scary.
So, yeah, it is. Because, you know, you got this 540, 550 amount of weight trying to bring it down. And the shirt just split. So when it split, the weight just instantly dropped.
Oh, yeah.
So they caught it, and the bench press safety racks caught it, but it still really scares you because it's a very loud noise, and you just don't have control of the weight. But it's an experience I never forget. And after that, I switched to a poly shirt from now on. So I never had a poly shirt split. So.
I can just imagine a bang and then 550 pounds coming flying down at me without a control.
Oh my goodness.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, I think you talked me out of using denim too for that reason.
Yeah, they can split. They just don't give like the poly shirts. The poly shirts, they'll stretch. They'll give. Those denim, they just don't give, and it just splits. So I, after that, I never used a denim shirt.
So that did you in. That did you in. You were finished with those.
Yes, some people use denim. They use more of the double and triple ply denims. It's a lot more thicker material, and it doesn't split, and it can handle the stress. But then you got to use so much more weight to get the weight to touch. And I just don't want to go that way. So stick to the poly shirt.
So. So what is the most important nuts and bolts life lessons that you could give us?
I think lessons I can give, not just you all, but just to anybody. I have a favorite saying. I've been saying this maybe well over 20 years. This is one of my favorite sayings. Some people probably heard of it. You know, my favorite saying is, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So that's one of my favorite sayings.
Yes.
Because, you know, in life, a lot of people can start things. You know, whether you can start work, or you can start a career, or you can start going to college, or you can start doing some tests. That's very easy. It's very easy to start something, especially, you know, whether you want to do a bachelor's degree, master's, or a doctor. It's very easy to start.
So true.
But can you finish? That's the end game.
Absolutely.
It's a race. Can you finish getting this doctorate? Can you establish a career and finish this career and retire? So that's my favorite saying. It's not how you start. It's just how you finish. Like I said, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yes.
It's just going to take time. So you got to be patient, and you just got to finish that race. So that's what my favorite saying is. You know, it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Absolutely.
It is.
Because sometimes it gets difficult or it gets stressful, then it's easy just to quit. No, you don't quit. You know,
right.
You finish it. You start it. It's something that we teach our daughter. You know, you started this, so you should finish, because
absolutely.
If you easily quit, then you're going to be a quitter later on in life when you establish a career. Something gets you hard. Oh, I quit. I just quit my job. You know, start something, finish it.
Amen. That's wonderful. JT, I know you're a busy man and you have a lot of commitments, and we appreciate you taking time, but I've got one last question for you.
I got time.
I'm glad to hear it. What is your biggest praise for God?
So my biggest praise is what happened on September the 27th. I mean, we all got a lot of praise, but this one is going to stay with me for a life. On September 27th, a couple more days before that, I had tested positive for COVID.
Yes.
And it just got worse and got worse and it got worse.
Gosh.
So September 27th, my wife called the ambulance and I had to go to the hospital. So wow. I had to get admitted into the ICU unit. So even before I got into the ICU unit, my confession was that I'm going to live. I'm not going to die. I'm going to get out of this hospital by Jesus Christ. I am healed. It might take me a couple of days. It might take me a week or two, but I'm walking out this smelling like roses. I'm going to be fine. So it's all about what you say is what you will have. So that was my confession every single day. I'm going to live. I'm not going to die.
Wonderful.
By Jesus Christ, I'm healed.
Praise God.
So that's my praise. That's my confession. Whatever you say, you shall have. Again, having COVID, being really sick, is scaring me. You know?
Yes.
I mean, we're human. So we have emotions, but every day I was praying. I was talking,
amen,
you know, to the Lord, like, you know, I'm going to get out of this. And everything worked out great. I mean, even the doctors say, you know, this is a miracle, because a lot of people with severe pneumonia in their lungs end up on a ventilator.
Yes.
But he said, because I was such in great shape, I exercised, my lungs were so strong, you know, I didn't have to get on a ventilator. Plus, with the medications, they really helped. But also the X factor was just my confession and praying and talking to their different ministers on
praise
the phone.
God.
Yes.
I had hundreds of people praying for me.
Yes, you did.
And I think that was an X factor that helped, you know, get me healed.
You are such an inspiration. I can remember getting on Facebook and seeing you in the hospital and working out while you were in the hospital. I was like,
that.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Yeah, I remember
that.
He
is amazing.
Yeah. Because I was starting to feel good and I missed exercising. So I got up and I started doing presses off the bed and doing squats. And, you know, it's like, you know, I got to get up and keep moving, because our body in motion stay in motion.
Yep.
Because when you just lay in the bed, you lose strength, you lose condition, you lose stamina.
Yes.
So I just had to get up. But I had a rude awakening. Once I came home, I truly knew how bad shape I was in. I didn't know how bad shape, because I remember I came home, I struggled. I couldn't walk up the stairs.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I couldn't walk up the stairs. I could barely do 10 push-ups. So it was, like I said, it took some time. Like I said, it was easy just to quit. But like I say, as my favorite says, now how you start, it's how are you finished.
Absolutely.
So I started terrible. My stamina, my condition was terrible. My strength was terrible. But I was like, hey, I'm going to finish this. I'm going to fight every single day. So every day I did push-ups, because that's not how you start. It's how you finish.
That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
JT,
yes.
Thank you so much. You're an inspiration. You are truly a wonderful role model. I love you, brother. I can't thank you enough for this.
Yes, thank you. I enjoyed it. Hopefully we can do it again in the near future. Like I said, I give praise to God.
Amen. All right.
Thanks a lot.
God bless.
God bless.
This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them, and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.